This podcast was recorded in the podcast studio at the Great Room Afro Asia in Singapore. Welcome to Greater Encounters by the Great Room, the podcast series where great minds meet and where curiosity meets knowledge. Let's dive right in.
Hi, this is JL, and today we have Rachel Lim, co-founder and maven behind Love Bonito, who is also a very, very dear friend, and so happy to be speaking with her today. Rach, can you tell us a little bit about you?
Hi, JL. So good to be here, and thank you for having me. I think a little bit about me. Wow. Besides being an entrepreneur, I recently became a mom of two kids, two young kids. Also have a lot to learn in this journey. And, you know, like you, I wear many hats in life, a mom, a partner, a leader, a peer, a friend, a daughter. And I think also along this journey, learning to navigate life as, I wouldn't say seamlessly, but as best as I can.
So much of you and the current is in the limelight. I'm going to go to the beginnings, because I think beginnings are always interesting to see how and why people do what they do. Mm-hmm. So do you have any? And if so, what's your biggest insecurity growing up? And how do you feel about it now?
JL, you go so deep so fast.
I like to go right to the heart of the matter.
No warm up,
no faffing around.
Yeah, wow, what's my insecurity growing up? I would say, you know, I mean, absolutely, I truly believe that, you know, the way we are, a huge part of it is really our conditioning from young, you know, from the way we were brought up. And I think for me, I realized in my adult years also that I am a people pleaser. I struggle to say no. I struggle with having hard conversations. I struggle with, you know, confrontations. And I think, you know, as I peel back the layers and work through it as well, I realized that, oh, you know, growing up in my younger days, in the family, being the only girl, the middle child with two other brothers, you know, growing up, and as you know, most boys would as well, they would create a lot of havoc, cause a lot of trouble for my parents. And you know, for me, I've always wanted to be the child that come in to ensure that there's peace, there's happiness, there's almost like quietness in that sense, right? And I wanted to be that child, or I felt like I needed to be that child that wouldn't cause problems or headache for my parents. In the days where my brothers would get called up to school and my parents have to come down to see the principal and things like that, I always felt like I needed to overcompensate and give my parents that peace of heart. So I've always learned in that sense, you know, to not be problematic, not be troublesome,
yeah,
in that sense. And at the expense of even like suppressing how I truly feel, suppressing, you know, my emotions, my needs. And I think in my adult years, I had to peel back and work through all of that. Yeah.
You know, many people say that entrepreneurs are born and they're not made. I know that I stumbled into becoming an entrepreneur. I didn't really exactly decide to become one. What about you? Did you grow up intending to be one, or it was just happenstance?
Back then when I co-started Love Bonito, and before that Bonito Chico on a LiveJournal platform, entrepreneurship wasn't even a word like it is today. Exactly. So this was like rewinding back to 18, 19 years ago when my friends and I, we were in school, in junior college, and you know, we wanted to sell our pre-loved clothes for extra pocket money on a LiveJournal platform, which was really like the eBay of Singapore back then. And after a while of doing that, you know, we ran out of clothes to sell. So we decided to import clothes with the money that we had saved. So back then, online shopping had just started. This is way before the time of social media. And people were, you know, wiring money via ATM transfer, sending over
What year was that?
This was maybe 18 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. So back then, you know, ATM transfers, they would scan the receipts and email it to us because no smartphones.
Yeah.
Also, they would maybe, you know, post money, post cash to us, and we receive it 3 to 4 days later and then sort out their orders. So this was really the early days. And we realized that, hey, there is a demand for pieces that we would bring in and import from overseas. But after a while of doing that, we realized that, you know, there was always something missing from the pieces that we imported, be it the quality, the fit, the design. There was always something that I wanted to change. And so in my final year of university with no fashion, no business, no design background, decided to drop out of school to co-start the business proper with my co-founders. And this was in 2010. Back then, you know, the brands and the offerings that we had were primarily from the international brands who were catering primarily for the European American women who have very different body proportion needs than us Asian women. And so we saw a gap because we ourselves realized that, hey, we couldn't really find pieces that would, number one, feed us well. Number two, would be affordable and value for money. And number three, it would also allow us to express our sense of selves and style. And so that was how Love Bonito was born. And I think for me, right, it wasn't like, okay, you know, I decide to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to have a 10-year business plan. Like you, we really stumbled upon it and had to learn the hard way along the way. And it's been such an interesting journey. I mean, now almost 18, 19 years ago.
So I'm going to go back into that. That was not a time, you know, when it was that trendy to kind of drop out of school. And within the Singaporean context, that must have not been easy.
Yeah.
What gave you the courage? And was it difficult to tell your parents, like, I I'm going to do something so big and I'm going to drop out of school?
Yeah, that's a great question. Especially back in the time where I remember my mom asking me, she was like, actually, is what you're doing legal? Why are people...
I can imagine. My mom would ask that.
In the days, like, online shopping isn't like what it is today. She was asking me, why are people sending you money even before they see physically and touch the pieces, the orders, you know? And it wasn't something she could really understand. Yet at the same time, for me, I knew that there was momentum building. And Jim Collins always has this analogy. He says, before you fire the cannonball, the big investment, you fire bullets to test it out first. And we had already been firing bullets on the side, testing, you know, refining, adapting along the way. And we knew that if we were to strike when the iron is hot, there's a good chance that this might take off. And so I told myself, you know, back then I told myself, I was still young. If the business were to fail, I can always go back to studying. But if I don't give this a shot now, I might miss this forever. And the extra tricky thing was, you know, because I was bonded to the government and I had 10 months left.
Gone.
And I had to borrow a 5-figure sum from my mom to pay off the government in order to start this business proper. So it was, you know, there was
so much conviction.
From my mom, you know, like when you talk about courage, right? I think it's also really more a question for my mom, like what gave her the courage? And back then there was a financial crisis. My dad was going through bankruptcy. My mom was already working 2 jobs to support the family. Yeah. Yet she had to loan me a 5-figure sum of money for something that she did not even truly understand what it was and has never heard of, like a young girl coming out to co-start a business. She was trying to obviously, you know, persuade me, like, it's just 10 more months, finish it, get a paper cert. If anything, you can fall back on it.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about courage. And even sometimes when people ask me, I don't have a great answer. And I always say that with ignorance comes great courage. There is always a cocktail of heady ignorance that's somewhat needed because not everything can be explained rationally as well.
Yeah. And there is no formula for that.
There is no formula. And perhaps at that time, there weren't many role models as well that's in front of you that say, this is the path to chart. Now looking back in the rearview mirror, please don't be humble. I want you to self-evaluate and think, what are kind of like the top 3 traits or attributes that make you not just survive, but really thrive as an entrepreneur?
That's a great question. I think having been an entrepreneur, I mean, Love Bonito this year, officially, we are 14 years old.
Oh.
And it has really been such a journey because, you know, I think everything that we are today has really been community made, community built, the people that have chosen to come alongside us to build this together. I think if there are some traits that I think that have paid off because I have chosen to work on them continuously over the last decade, I would say the first one definitely is self-awareness. You know, Lao Tzu has this quote where he says, knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. And he goes on to say, mastering others is strength, but mastering yourself is true power. And that has been something that I've always held on to. How can I really deeply understand myself, my strengths, my weaknesses, my motivations, everything? How can I understand myself so well that before I learn to lead others, I learn to lead myself, I learn to conquer myself? And it's been such an evolving journey from, you know, understanding through different types of tests, MBTI, strengths finders, Enneagram, and then ensuring that I surround myself with people who dare to be honest with me, to give me hard feedback, and surround myself with a challenge network that would be there to, you know, ensure that I'm not in an echo chamber, that would dare to say no to me, that would dare to push back, that would also dare to tell me the truth of things about myself. And I think it's been such a journey that I think this deep self-awareness that I have has also allowed me to fully accept my weaknesses and also fully accept and embrace my strengths. That has also then allowed me to surround myself with people different from me and smarter than me in so many different ways to build a strong team together. And I think that has been instrumental in the company's growth, bringing people smarter than me in different ways to grow and build this together.
Since we're talking about people, I'm just going to dovetail into this. You know, they say that individuals make up a team, and the very best teams have people that have everything and nothing in common.
Yeah.
So in Love Bonito, what kind of people do you guys look for in the leaders in the organization?
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is a great question that I think about a lot, that I think people has always been something that has kept me up at night. I do think that, you know, there will always be problems in the business, things that we need to fix. But I think it's the people that keep me up at night that also led me to think, like, what are the kinds of people that I need to look out for? And I think in the different stages of business, we need different caliber and different types of people. And I think almost going back to, you know, maybe what are the three traits, right?
Yeah.
Traits. I think the other thing is also like the desire to win. I think
hunger to win, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That hunger, that drive.
That's hard to find.
That is very hard to find. That's very hard to find, especially if I may say in Singapore.
So how do you identify? How do you see it?
I'm very blessed also in a sense, but I get to see it because when I am in other countries like maybe China, Hong Kong, Indonesia, somehow also you see I am exposed to people there who are just so much hungrier.
Yeah.
And I think that is so important, because when you are hungrier, when you have a real desire to win, whatever win means, you just become more resourceful. You just 100%. Become more persuasive. Yeah. You will find ways.
You become a larger version of yourself.
Exactly. When there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. It's so true. And I've never found it to be more true. And in Singapore, I mean, of course, I'm so blessed to be able to get exposed to people like that, right? Who have the desire to win. You know, either it's because they have a chip on the shoulder, they have something to prove to themselves, or, you know, in general, they also are so
passionate,
convicted, passionate. They have a clear North Star that they want to get to. I think that's the second thing that I feel is an important trait for success. And the third thing, if I may say, is also equanimity. And I think this is something back to your initial question on, you know, what are some traits that I continually develop to ensure that I continue to grow in life? And I think equanimity, right? I think when I first started out, I was young and immature. And, you know, I was really like, when the business did well, I was on a high. When the business didn't do well, I crashed along with it emotionally, mentally. And I think there was this like nonstop ups and downs, highs and lows that I struggled a lot to deal with, right? And I found that it became very unhealthy and it consumed me, because my happiness at the end of the day was tied to how well the business was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day, one of my mentors, she said, "Rach, you have to remember that when things go well, don't let it get to your head. And when things don't go well, don't let it get to your heart." And I think that is something that even there's this quote by Young Pueblo. He says, maturity is being able to ride the ups and downs of life, the waves of life, and not be tossed around by it. And I think equanimity has been something that I've been striving to also develop, to get stronger at, to work through, so that when things go so well, I remain grounded. I remember that, you know, I celebrate, but, you know, we get up and we go again. And when things don't go well, which you and I know that it will, and there will be many days of it, I learn to mourn, to cry, but the next day I learn to pick myself up, dust myself off, and go again.
Have the pity party, and then
throw the pity party,
look ahead,
throw the funeral, cry it all out, and then go again.
So I always remember the moment. I think I had a really hard time during COVID as well. You did say tough times don't last, tough people do. And I always take it to heart because, like you say, there are many, many tough times that hit us again at different times of the business. But during these times, what do you do to help you kind of maintain a positive mindset? Give us something tangible and personal that you actually do to help you. It's all easy to say, just move ahead, just pick yourself up. But are there any tricks?
Conceptually, it makes sense. It's logical. Are there any tricks? I think there's no tricks in the sense where, I think it's a lot of hard work and intentionality and the discipline to do it even when I don't feel like it. And one thing that has tremendously helped me is, maybe we'll start with an easier one, which is like just reframing. In when I brush my teeth every morning in my mirror, I post a post-it there where I wrote there, I get to versus I have to. And there when I'm starting my day, you know, I keep telling myself, okay, I get to wake up, I get to feed Kira, I get to send Ollie to school versus I have to. I get to show up for this meeting, I get to show up for this podcast interview versus I have to. And even that in itself reframes everything for me, and there is a subconscious positive attitude that comes with I get to. The other thing that really helps me, you know, with mental resilience and mental strength is gratitude journaling. And I think for me, that changed so much. Even in my darkest days, my lowest of lowest days, I force myself to look for the good in each day. Even if it's this,
light every day,
the glimmer of light in every day. Even if it's, you know, just being able to come home to a comfortable bed. Even if it's, I'm so glad that I had time to, you know, drink coffee today. You know, whatever it is, I just choose to focus on the good in every day and the little lights, the little glimmer of lights, because I realized that it's like neuroplasticity that then also trained my brain to look out for the little silver lining in each dark cloud, even when it's a stormy and thunderous day. So I think that has really saved me so much, even when I'm going through the darkest of times, that that has really helped me get through the tough seasons.
You know, I love all your hacks and your goals and tricking your mind. Any other daily habits or practices or rituals or frameworks or hacks that you can share?
Yeah. I think also learning to create a safe space and a safe haven for myself. And for me, sometimes it's just in the shower, taking a 5 minute longer hot shower, you know, and that does so much in terms of like decompressing physically and then therefore mentally, emotionally, because that's also where I get to release like any whatever that I've been holding back by crying or just letting out many deep
that's
sighs.
My favorite reset as well.
Yeah, I really love reset. That. Yeah. I think also talking through. I realized that one of the ways that I process, whether is it grief, hurts, disappointments, or even process happiness, is to talk through it with someone whom I trust. So definitely like to Leo or to my younger brother, who to me is really my rock also in life. So being able to talk through and process all of it and having him reflect back to me and also help me see things that I may not have seen is really helpful. So I think, finding and creating a safe space, safe haven. And lastly, I think for me, like just being by myself, resting, pockets of times, especially I think it's not as easy for younger parents also with young kids. And I think, you know, while I also ensure that I make time for them, at the end of the day, one thing that I don't compromise on, and I try not to, is to also ensure that I make time for myself, because I know that when I do that, I pour into my own cup, and then that will allow me to better serve those around me.
That one is so important, because schedules and time, as we've all learned, it's like wardrobe space. You're just going to fill it up. However big it is, you're just going to fill it up. So this year, my own kind of way of managing this is scheduling in the non-negotiables first. First deciding what's a non-negotiable, put them in. It could be the trip, it could be the health screening, it could be time, pockets of time with the kids, but put those in before everything else consume you, because everything else will consume you.
Exactly. And I love that, because JL, so many times, you know, to your point, right, we will also give time to everything else except ourselves. And there's this quote that says, you know, don't tell me your priorities, show me your calendar.
Exactly.
And
it
really
speaks volumes.
Yes.
How you spend your time.
Exactly.
It's like you really vote with your time. These are your priorities. Doesn't matter what you're telling me.
You're right.
I
because
totally agree.
If you don't put time and block out time for it, then we will never, you know.
It won't happen.
It won't happen. It and won't we will happen. Find excuses, or we will say, no, it's fine the next week, next month, but it would never happen.
You know, you mentioned mentors just now, and you talk about talking through things with friends, with Leo, with your brother, with your mentors. You know, it sounds like you have mentors in your life. Like, what role have they played and how important are they in your life?
Mentors have been tremendous, you know, like have had a tremendous impact in my life. I've had mentors that don't even know that I exist, and I read about them through books and I learn from them.
I'm
so
glad I'm
much.
Not the only one.
Yeah, right. You know, they don't know I exist, but I've learned so much from them. I've been so blessed to have mentors like yourself who have come alongside me in my journey to extend that helping hand and, more importantly, give me that listening ear. And, you know, because you yourself, you go through it, you're a mom, you know, you have a family to take care of, yet you also have a business to take care of. And I appreciate mentors like that, because you have been through the journey and you deeply understand the struggles.
Peers in the field.
Indeed, right? Fellow warriors. And I think, you know, to your question, how have they helped me? I think for me, right? I think just learning and knowing from people who have been two steps ahead of me is so helpful, because they also help me with blind spots and tell me things to look out for and give me such helpful advice to prevent me, or to also ensure that I have guardrails, or to also ensure that I take note of other important things that I might have missed out. So mentors have been really tremendous in this learning journey, because especially for me, I didn't get a chance to work under anyone in particular. So I didn't know. I've had to learn the hard way by trialing and error. What's a good leader? What's a bad leader? But it was only when I was exposed to like books, people, mentorship in that sense, that I really got to learn from the experiences. What are some things that I can learn from, steal, and, you know, adapt and adopt to my situation, that have been so, so helpful.
I'm going to prod a little bit more. There are many younger women who feel that it's not easy finding a mentor or attracting the right type of mentor, or even how do I ask someone to be my mentor?
Yeah.
What is your own personal kind of tip to help someone, you know, attract the right mentor, to want to mentor you?
Another thing I think which is an important trait for anyone is really to have thick skin.
I knew that was coming. I was going to say,
right?
Only one hack.
Yes.
Ask.
Yes,
having
ask.
A thick skin to ask. Mm-hmm. What's the worst?
But what's the worst? You get no, it's okay. Move on. Nothing changed. Essentially, we're back to the same statistic in a sense, right? Nothing changed. So just ask. But I think beyond that, it's not just mindlessly asking. I think doing the preparation in terms of like finding out, why do you think this person would be a good mentor for you? And then communicating that. And I always think that mentorship is two ways. Besides what you can receive from that person, what can you also give and offer, right? At the end of the day, you know, it's not so much always the exchange of just wisdom and advice and intellect, but it's also the exchange of like company and just being there for each other, listening, providing a different point of view. And especially maybe for me, like one of the things also is like providing that insight to maybe what this generation today looks out for, what's important to them, you know, and things like that. So I always believe that, you know, have the thick skin to ask and do the preparation work to really be able to persuade and convince the mentor that you want, like why this would be a win-win for both of us.
I love that. I do that, but I'm going to offer a slightly contrarian view.
Please do.
I have never asked. I scope creep on people. I ask them for a coffee, and then a coffee becomes a longer session, a second coffee. I straight away jump into asking them for help and questions when I need to. And it's self-filtering. Those that, you know, see you, understand, or get galvanized, excited by your goals will yeah. help you, and then they kind of stick around and become your mentors.
Life mentors. I love yeah. that, you know, and sometimes, like I said, it's not about officializing it and asking, hey, will you be my mentor? But it's just asking for a coffee date.
Yeah.
Asking for 15 minutes together.
Yeah. And like, then, I'm in this dilemma. Like, exactly. How would you think about it exactly. if you were in my shoes?
Yeah. So I think it's really having that courage to ask whatever it is that you want and need. Yeah.
So I'm going to wrap up a last one and an important question as we approach International Women's Day in March. We want to bring to light the conversation around gender equality and women empowerment in business. So in Love Bonito and the Great Room, we don't really need to talk a lot about that because we have so many women working in the organization. Inclusivity, equality is less to speak of. But for the general business world, what steps do you think are crucial for meaningful progress in this area?
Firstly, I must say that we have already come a long way from when we first started, even a decade ago, where women entrepreneurs or women leaders were not as common, I would say. I mean, when I first started, maybe at least in our part of the world.
Not as common, not as celebrated.
Not as common, not as celebrated, not brought to light. And I think, you know, we have really come a long way in recognizing women and of course, you know, the role that we play in society, in life, in business, in family, which is why Barack Obama always says, right? He says, like, honestly, the world would be a so much better place if women became presidents.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. But I think one thing is, you know, Jill, if we peel back to the layers of, like, sometimes why is it that women, you know, may not, I mean, one of the struggles, I think, and this is backed up by research, you know, I read an article on Forbes. It says, women tend to be less self-assured than men. And in order to succeed, confidence matters as much as competence. Now, for one, we know that women are not any less competent than men, but we also know that women tend to be less confident and less self-assured than men. For example, a woman would seldom put herself up for promotion, or yeah. she feels that, oh, in order to get this job or get this promotion, I will need to meet like all 10 or 11 out of 10 of the criteria before I raise my hands. But for men, and it's something we can learn from, they maybe feel like, oh, maybe 5 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, I'm ready, I can do it. I think it's something that we have to help women, you know, grow into, and I think it helps with helping them see themselves, helping them believe in themselves by encouraging them, calling them out to celebrate their successes, their wins, however little it may be, giving them the extra boost, confidence. I think one of the most important things that we can give someone is really helping them believe in themselves and helping them see them for who they are and who they're gonna be. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that we as leaders, as colleagues can do for the people around us. So, you know, openly celebrating like, hey, that was a really great idea, Steph, or, you know, whoever, and slowly building them through that self-belief and coming out to talk more about things like what happens when we go through doubts, discouragements, delusions, because we could all go through all of that at
even
the end of the day.
Seasons of life.
Seasons of life, and letting them know that, hey, it's normal. We all doubt ourselves. We all have imposter syndrome. But the important thing is, you know, what do we do when we experience these? Which also brings me back to self-awareness, because self-awareness helps me notice that, hey, I'm speaking from a place of fear. I'm feeling very doubtful now because I feel consumed by imposter syndrome or doubts. And how can I get through all of that? And I think, you know, that's something that we can do so much more for women, you know, by sharing stories, bringing more women together to talk through it, and also letting them know that you're not alone in this journey at the end of the day.
That's a very uplifting note to end with. Thank you, Rach. I always pick up so many gems from you. I can talk to you all day.
Jill, likewise, I would love to switch positions and talk to you.
We shall do that.
Wait, before we end, Jill, can I go back to your question on what do we look out for in people, right? You asked a really good question that I think we can just edit it back. But I think like one of the key things I've learned also is like, I think authenticity is really important. Oh,
that is a good one. Yes.
Yeah, authenticity is what I look for in people. Like people who are true to themselves. And also, you know, people that, yeah, who are willing to work hard on themselves and continuously grow and evolve. I think that's something that is so important, especially today. I think the workforce and the people, we are looking for a leader or someone who is authentic, who is able to also at the end of the day, you know, inspire authenticity in others. Then the other thing I think what's important is also humility. I think I've come across also different people who, yes, you know, you can be the smartest, you can be the most strategic, but at the end of the day, if it's always about me versus we, and it's all about you, I think it's very hard for you to go very far in life, I think, right? I mean, there are some that I think who obviously work their way through, but I think these are important traits that we try to look out for in people that we hire.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, recently at our leadership offsite, we talked a lot about what does it mean to belong. Mm. Once upon a time, belonging means being part of a rather homogenous group of people. But we are now thinking really belonging, it's being accepted for who you are. Yeah. So you kind of bring your whole self, your true self, your authentic self.
You show up.
And you feel comfortable being with this group of people who may be different from you, but you're all comfortable.
Yeah.
So I think that sense of authenticity, that belonging in this kind of framework, it's something that's very important.
Mm, and like you said, right, I think today people are also looking for a place where they feel accepted, embraced. And I think that's really boils back down to also then a culture of authenticity and how can we learn to embrace diversity in whatever forms. Yeah.
Humility is something that's interesting as well, because traditionally, I think the business world favors a very much more aggressive,
top-down,
at least more typically, right? Much more extroverted character. But we now also understand that leadership comes in different ways. Leaders come in different ways.
Shapes and forms.
And totally agree with you about, you know, if we want to go far, then we have to be humble, and you need the we to go far. You want to go fast, then just go alone, right?
Yeah, and I think one misconception that people have about humility is not about downplaying your strengths.
That's right. It's not self-deprecating.
It's not self-deprecating only. I think humility is the ability to recognize fully your strengths, your weaknesses.
Maybe it's that self-awareness that you were talking about.
Exactly, and to be able to see yourself more wholly and fully, you know, and I think that's something that is also really important, and recognizing at the end of the day that we can't do this by ourselves. It really takes a village, and no man is an island. And I think as a leader, if you feel, or for anyone, if we feel that, oh, I can do this on my own and I can sustain this, I think, yeah, at the end of the day, we really have to recognize that we need others in this journey with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jill.
You've just listened to the Greater Encounters podcast. This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by the team behind The Great Room. The Great Room by Industrious is co-working inspired by hospitality. With locations worldwide spanning across APAC, North America, and Europe, it is recognized as one of America's 500 fastest-growing companies by Inc. magazine. The Great Room offers hyper-flexible workspace solutions to support a variety of unique office needs. Through community events and experiences designed to cultivate connections and amplify professional learning and development, we change the way you feel about coming to work. Greater Business Club by The Great Room is a next-generation business club for leaders building leaders. We facilitate an ecosystem of learning, collaboration, connection, and giving back. For more information on The Great Room, or if you would like to join the Greater Business Club community, head over to www.thegreatroom.co. If you would like to listen to more episodes, follow us on LinkedIn at Greater Business Club. That's where we'll share exciting news about our next episode releases and much more. Until our next encounter, be greater.